time to get as much people as he can. It's like a last ditch effort for the devil to get as many people against God into just his last rebellion. And his last rebellion is crushed here when God finally kills him, finally destroys him, and throws him into the lake of fire. So he will. Yeah, you can clap for that for sure, man.
I like that. I love it, bro.
I'm stoked for that. And so don't worry. You know, during this time.
Yeah, it's going to go down.
Yes, it's coming. And Jesus says the time is near. So be watchful, be ready, because the times are coming. So there's that question. So any other questions you guys have? We're going to start answering them.
Going live.
Off the fly, going live now. So anybody have a question? Just raise your hand and we'll answer it right now. You have a question?
Dylan always has a question. I know. He's good, dude. Oh, wow.
You will find out.
Yeah. You got it like a girlfriend or something? Is she like holding you back or what? Like, is she burning a hole in your pocket? Like,
first of all, you shouldn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, dude, what's the deal?
Don't be thinking about
that. Don't worry. You'll be good, dude.
You got one right here? Or Moses?
Ooh. That's a good question. Yeah. Here's the deal. The answer is no. Just straight up. I've wondered about that too. All right. And wow, that's a really good question. I actually thought about that, probably about two and a half weeks ago. I was actually in school and we were studying that, and I was like, I asked one of my teachers, like, can they still fall? I mean, they still have free will. They still can. And he said no, because the ones who chose to leave, and the third that chose to leave and go with Satan, they went. And the other two thirds that stayed, they're like, all right, I'm going to stay. And so from that point on, it's no. So, angels can't fall. They can't leave. They're stuck with God. You know, it talks about even Michael, throughout scripture, and even back in the Old Testament, and you see him still with God in the New Testament. You know, Satan wants to take him down, and Michael is still with God, and he says, you know, I know I could take you, bro, but I'm gonna leave it to God. And that just shows that he's committed to God, and that the rest of the angels are committed to him as well.
Absolutely. That's great. That's great. That's a great question. She said, did Jesus ever reconsider not going to the cross, not dying on the cross? I'm going to turn to the scripture here real quick. But yes, he did. Correction. He didn't. But I'm going to show you what it talks about in Jesus and what he says concerning that before he goes to the cross. It's when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? This is after the Last Supper, and they took the communion, and then they went to the garden where they would go a lot of times to pray, okay? And so him and the disciples go over there, and then he goes a little bit further with Peter, James, and John, who were his closest friends, and he tells them, hey, look, wait here and watch out, lest you fall into temptation, okay? And Jesus goes and prays, and I'm just getting it really quick, and as he's praying, he prays these specific things. It's really cool. Let me just get it really quick. But as he's praying, he's asking God, I'll just tell you what he says. He says, Lord, if it is all possible, let this cup pass from me. Okay. Lord, if it is at all possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup he's talking about is dying on the cross. Okay. And he's not saying that, you know, some could say, well, Jesus was reconsidering it, you know, like, you know what, this is the last night, I'm about to get arrested by the Pharisees, and I don't know if I should do this, God, and I don't want to do this, Father, and he wasn't saying that. Jesus, as a human, still being God, he was God incarnate, meaning he was God in human form, okay? He felt the pains of being human, okay? And he knew what he was about to endure on the cross. He knew every person that was going to be hitting him. He knew how many times he was going to get whipped. He knew, I'm sure, how much he was going to bleed and how much he was going to hurt, you know, and everything. And on top of that, taking on everybody's sin, past, present, and future on the cross. Okay? What, say it again? Well, that's what he says. He says, if it is all possible, let this cup pass from me. Okay?
Yeah, he's trying to say, if it's possible, but any other way.
Exactly. But right after that, he says, but not my will.
Your will.
Your will. Okay? And that's the difference. So Jesus says, he wasn't saying, I'm reconsidering this, Lord. I don't want to do this. He's saying, if it is all possible, let this cup pass from me. But I know I have to do this because this is the only way for us to be saved. Right now, we're all saved. And if Jesus didn't die on the cross 2,000 years ago, we would not be saved right now. And when we choose Christ, we would not be guaranteed going to heaven. Okay? And so that price had to be paid. That atonement for our sins is the word that purchased for us. He had to die on the cross. It was the only way that we could be saved. And that's why we're saved. And Jesus knew that. And so he prays that. Okay? And he knows. He says, but not my will, but your will. So it wasn't a reconsideration. Okay? But, you know, some might say that. It was just a human, prayer. Yeah. Because of his human side. Human nature was hurting. I mean, in Luke, it talks about him, his dripping with blood. His sweat is like dripping with blood because
he
so
was stressed.
Intense.
He was so, yeah.
So intense.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah. If that answers, I hope that answers your question. Sure. Anybody else got a question? Don't all jump out at once. CJ. Say it again. How would it affect all the people in the past? That had already died. Well, the Bible talks about them rising again, okay? And when Jesus died on the cross, all those people that had died, a lot of people that had died, it says they wrote where they were coming back to life, okay? As soon as Jesus died on the cross, and people are freaking out, they're like, you know, this guy just died, you know, he's alive, you know what I mean? And giving them that other chance, okay? And if you notice, when in the Gospels it talks about Lazarus, the rich man, and Lazarus, right? And there's a place that people went when they died, Abraham's bosom, okay? And then it talks about, that means his chest, okay? That the poor man, when he died, that Abraham was holding him, okay? That's what it means. And that's where they would go, okay, when people would die.
Before
Jesus died,
yeah,
on the cross, okay? And then it talks about when Jesus died. You remember he died and he rose again in 3 days? Let's say, well, where did he go, right? From Scripture, and a lot of scholars say, you know, he actually went and witnessed to people in hell, in Hades. That definitely is a possibility for sure, giving them a chance to show, hey, look, this is what I did. You guys coming with me, or are you guys gonna stay here? You know what I mean? That type of thing. And we don't know for sure, but it does talk about that. I think it talks about in Hebrews. It talks about that Jesus doing that where he went during the time that he died. But when Jesus died on the cross, when he took on everybody's sins, past, present, and future, everybody still has that chance in the past to be saved, okay? And like before, you know, when they had to do animal sacrifices and all that, and the priest had to go in once a year and all that. That curtain was cut, okay? So for your question, that's how it would work for the people in the past. And even in Revelation, and it talks about people rising from the graves and during the rapture. Does that answer your question? Okay. Question way, try way in the back.
Javier.
How do we? That's a good question, man. He said, if God knows everything, knows what's going to happen before it happens, that God is all-knowing, right? He's omniscient. Then how do we have free will? Okay? if we know, if he already knows what's going to happen and all that, and how do we have free will? Free will is basically the freedom to make our own choices. Okay, that's what free will is, if you didn't know that. So if his question is, if God is all-knowing, then how do we have free will? Do you want to take that?
Yeah. Okay, this is a tough one. So, you know, this is really hard to comprehend. One, because, you know, we're finite beings. We're the created, all right? We aren't God. We aren't on his level, and we don't understand, you know, just the level of, you know, just his thoughts and his, I guess, power and all-knowingness. And, you know, he gave us free will. We've said this many times, because he didn't want puppets. He didn't want robots. He wanted people to love him. And, you know, going and taking that to Jesus and what he did, it says that he chose his disciples, and then they chose to follow him. So it was like, you can come with me, but you don't have to if you don't want to. All right? You can continue what you want to do. And some people did that. And, you know, some people didn't want to follow him. But the thing is, help me out here, bro.
You're doing great, man.
It's kind of, it's really tough to explain, but, you know, I would just go with that, because, you know, there's two sides to it, and I'm pretty sure there's even more to that, just because we don't know it. It's not in our understanding. So, yeah, we have free will, and yeah, God is all knowing. So, I mean, it's just something we can't understand, you know?
So, and especially Javier, right? Going back to the angels and when they rebelled and when they fell, okay?
He knew it was going to happen.
If God, that same question could be answered. If God, you know, knew already what was going to happen in creating the devil, or rather creating his name, Lucifer, the most beautiful angel ever, okay? Then, you know, how was their free will? We see they still chose to, even knowing, being in the presence of God, knowing who God is and seeing him for him, for themselves, angels still chose, the devil or Lucifer still chose to rebel against God. Okay? That was their choice. It wasn't God forcing them. And even though he knew that they were going to do that, he allowed them to do that. Okay? Then that doesn't take away from his divinity at all, his omniscience of all knowing. That just tells us that he allows it to happen. He accepted the choice that the devil made and the other angels, all the demons, in doing that, and he let it happen. Same thing for us. If he knows what we're going to do tomorrow or anything like that, that's the whole point of the cross. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us, past, present, and future, especially in the future, because God knows what we're going to do in the future. He knows what sin I'm going to commit tomorrow. He knows what sin I'm going to commit next year. He knows what sin I'm going to commit in 10 years. If Jesus hasn't come back yet, he knows. But I'm still going to sin. We're all still going to sin. And he allows it to happen. He wants us to choose him, not sin. And he does do that. There's still people that don't choose him. Okay? There's still people, there's unbelievers all around us all the time, right? In schools, and that we see at you guys don't have jobs yet, but you know, when and the workplace, things like that.
Well,
everywhere.
Even on TV, yeah.
On TV, I mean, all the time. You see, you know, they're choosing themselves, and that's where the free will is. God wants them to choose him, or to choose Jesus. And that's where free will is. That's where free will always has been. It's a choice that we make to choose God. Romans 6:20 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness." Okay? That we're free. We're free to choose that. Having been set free through Jesus from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Okay? So that's where it always is, Javier, free will. It has always been free will. Does that answer your question? Cool. We'll try here, right here in the middle. We'll come back to you, buddy. Say it one more time, buddy, a little louder. Still attempt to take the rightful place of God. You got it?
Of course. Here's the deal. Satan, Lucifer, Lucifer is his real name. You guys know that, but, you know, he he got really prideful before and this is where the free will comes in. All right. He was like, I guess Rich kind of said, and some of you guys have heard it, he was the worship leader in heaven. And when you're in a position of authority, even any kind of authority, whether you're a principal, whether you're a senator, even AJ, even when you're in a position like that, all right, it leads to a lot of pride. And it can turn out, your free will, you can do whatever you want with it. All right. But Lucifer got pretty heated that he wasn't better than God. He was worshiping and saying, wow, this is so awesome. And, you know, when God created humans, he wanted that relationship of us to worship him. And he kind of got jealous of that and decided to leave. And Javier, that's where the free will comes in. He decided to leave. But, you know, he's still taking the place of God. He still tempts us every day. What he wants us to do is, as he whispers in our ear, is to say, you know what? You don't need God. Go do whatever you want. It's your free will. It's your life. Why do you need God? You know? And when he does that, he's trying to take the place of God. All right? So, I mean, can you add any more?
Absolutely, yeah. So what he was talking about, that first pride thing, you can find that in Isaiah chapter 14, talking about when the devil first fell, okay? And why he wanted to take the rightful place of God, okay? And it said he wanted God's power. He wanted to be like God, okay? Still, does he want to do that? Your question?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Of course.
Okay? Absolutely. I mean, you read here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, when Jesus is tempted by Satan, right? He says that then Jesus was led up to this by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, okay? And you know, he goes on, he says, command this stone turn to bread. Jesus says, not, for man does not live on bread alone, but on every breath, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he tempts him again, and this is where you see it right here. And the devil, this is the third temptation. But he tempts him again, right, with more things. And the third temptation, again, the devil took him up, verse 8, chapter 4, on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Okay? Showing that, yeah, man, he still wants that power. He still wants to be the main guy. He still wants to be God. Okay. He wanted Jesus, who is God, and he knows that. Okay. Satan knew that Jesus was God. He knew who he was. And he wanted God to bow down to him. In other words, he wanted to take his place. Wanted to say, you know what? I want to be the one in charge. If you bow down to me right now, Jesus, or God, essentially, if you bow down to me right now, I will give you all of these things. I will give you all these things. And Jesus says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Okay? So yes, absolutely, he still wants to do that. That's why we read all the way towards Revelation, Satan never stops. He never stops until Jesus finally throws him into the lake of fire after he's bound for 1,000 years. He's bound for 1,000 years, still wants to do that. He still wants to just try to get everybody on his side and he knows he's going to lose. That was another question that one of you guys texted as well in there. If Satan and his demons know that they're going to lose, then why don't they repent? Exactly. That's just it. They know. They're dumb. They know what's going to happen. Satan, right here, through this whole chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, is quoting scripture. Satan is. He knows the scriptures. He knows what happens in the end. Okay? But does he still do it? Yeah. Because he's crazy. He's prideful.
He wants that attention.
He wants
to be better than God. And
yeah.
Like Rich was just saying, and I love that. That's a perfect example. He knew Jesus was God. And he's saying, hey, bow down to me, God. Just bow down to me. And Jesus says, no, you know, you bow down to God. God doesn't bow down to you. So
yeah, absolutely.
You still see it. He's still doing it.
And that's why we got as much as we got to do is we got to make sure we're equipped. Like I said earlier, you know, the devil's like a roaring lion ready to devour us. He roams the earth, okay? And his demons are everywhere too, attacking us, trying to get us off the track of Christ. Yeah. And so it's up to us to be equipped with the armor of God, right? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the shoes shodded with the peace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most importantly, we have the truth, the Bible. It's my electronic
sharper,
Bible, by
sharper
the way.
Than a two-edged sword.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay? That's why we got to make sure we're equipped. Any other questions? I hope that answers your question. Chance. Oh, we don't know.
Yeah.
He says, "Is the anti who?
Who's gonna bear the Antichrist?
Basically, who's gonna give birth to the Antichrist? Really scary.
It's tough.
We don't know. Yeah. Honestly, right now, I mean, you know, Jesus says that the times are near. Okay, and just by Scripture being fulfilled and all these things happening right now in the Middle East and in the foreign countries over there, everything that's happening, it's like, man, it's Jesus coming. You know, it's exciting. But so he could have been born already. Hey, he could have already been born, or he could be being born right now. I don't know, but we don't know who's gonna bear him or who's gonna give birth to him, right? And really, man, I want to encourage you too, as well as, who cares?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Hey,
and I don't want to, you know, say it was a good question. It's not a dumb question at all. It's a good, great question, because you know we wonder about these things and we want to know what's happening. You know what I mean? But you know, Scripture doesn't tell us who. It just says we know he's going to come about, and whoever it is, you know. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we're doing and what we're focusing on, man. And if we're on track with Christ, you know what I mean? You were going to say something else?
I was going to add just to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Scripture gives us things up to a point. And after that, we don't need to go off and try and wonder and try and keep going and seeing, well, who's it going to be? Is it going to be an atheist? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? Because it takes our focus and, you know, our love off of Jesus and Christ. And it puts it on that, and we get so caught up in that. And so it's important because, yeah, he's given birth by a human, but does it really matter? Like, is it really going to affect us, you know? So just adding to that thought, you know what I mean, bro?
Just to give you a little scripture, man. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." Okay? Saying that the Antichrist is coming, right? And there's a lot of false prophets. There's a lot of people saying, like, all the false religions out there, anything that you can think of, Buddhist, Hinduist,
Those are all Antichrist.
Okay?
Yeah.
All these people trying to get us off, our folks off Christ, are all Antichrist. But just to give you a little thing that he says here, John says the Antichrist is coming. Okay? And if you want to read more about that too as well, man, read Revelation. It lays all that out and talks about all that, man, for sure. So, I hope that answers your question a little bit. Good. Another question? Anybody have their hands raised? Before we get back to Javier, I didn't even see you in the front.
Mikhail.
Can you become a Christian after the rapture has already happened?
Can you become a Christian after the rapture has already happened? Do you want to take it?
Yeah, of course. There's going to be, you know, here's what I think is tough to answer. I don't know when the rapture is going to happen. Some say it's before, you know, the Antichrist, some say after. Biblically, it gives stuff for both. But of course, I mean, there's still going to be people witnessing and still people proclaiming God. And there's, you know, I was just thinking, and I've heard a lot of this lately, is even today was, you know, there's still going to be people around who hear it and still choose not to follow it. And so, to a point, of course there is, and there always will be. I mean, like Rich just said, you know, it's not positive, but Jesus went back and was saying, "Look, follow me. I'm the truth." And he always gives those second chances, even to us. He just continues to give us second chances. But there's still going to be those people who say, you know, nah, I don't want that. I don't want you. I'm sorry, Jesus. But, you know, he's going to continue, even after the rapture, to still say, you know, there's one more chance. There's one more chance. There's one more chance. And help me out with some scripture
Jesus,
on that, Rich.
Jesus says that, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight, right? And Jesus says that when he rises from the grave, remember when Thomas goes and he's you know, he's like, I'm not going to believe. You guys
until
are all crazy,
yeah,
disciples.
Until I
that
see.
Jesus hasn't risen. He's like, I want to myself. I want to see it. I want to feel his side where he was poked. I want to see where he was has put the stakes in his hand and his feet. I want to see that. I want to feel it. And Jesus says to Thomas, you know, you have seen me, now I'm alive, but blessed are the ones that who have not seen and yet still believe. Okay? And so in the rapture, after the rapture, like he was talking about, people know that, you know, what Christ has done, and that's for us to get that word out to everybody. Okay, well, when Christ returns in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it talks about that. About the rapture, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So after the rapture, it talks about in Revelation going through tribulation, okay? And everybody, because everybody's going to know, because right here in verse 16 it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, okay? Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. You better believe people are going to know what's going on, okay? It's going to be so big, so huge.
You can't ignore
that. You can't ignore it. Just like when the disciples heard when God was speaking from heaven, whenever God spoke from heaven, it was so loud. They were like, they were scared, like, oh my gosh. You know what I mean? It's going to be that same thing. Everybody's going to know about it. So when that rapture happens, it's going to be so quick. Like Jesus says, in the twinkling of an eye, after that, people are going to be like, oh man. You know what I mean? We missed it. Like, those crazy Christians were right. You know? And they will have a chance. Okay? They will. But because they didn't choose Christ before the rapture, before Jesus came back, they're going to have to go through that tribulation. It talks about in Revelation chapter 9 that, you know, a star falls from heaven and it was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit, and out of it arose a smoke that no one's ever seen before. And then out came out scorpions and all these crazy things that are just torment people and biting people. And the consequences that those who are still alive through Revelation, if they don't die first and go to heaven if they've chose Christ, but they're still alive, they're going to be, these are the consequences because they didn't choose Christ before he returned. Do you understand? So they'll still have a chance, absolutely, to choose him, but they're going to have to go through the consequences. And if they don't die first, you know, and they just and keep enduring, they're alive, they're going to have to keep going through that. But will they be saved if they choose Christ? Absolutely. And when they die, they'll go to heaven? Absolutely. But it's just the consequences, you know what I mean, of that. What is the Antichrist? What is he going to do? That's the question. What is the Antichrist? What is he going to do? Well, it talks about in Revelation, man, what the Antichrist, what he does. And let me just get to it really quick. Basically, what's going to happen, man, is the Antichrist is basically going to try to get everybody, have you ever seen, what is it called?
Left Behind.
Yes, the Left Behind series. And it's a, you know, regardless, whatever you guys think or whatever, I mean, it's cool because, you know, it does show what the Antichrist is going to do. I just want to give you a good, vivid picture, okay? Because it's in accordance with Scripture, okay? And it talks about it in Revelation. And I'm just scrolling to it here. But what he's going to do is basically get everybody's focus off of Christ and on him, who, again, like this guy said over here about, is the devil still trying to take the place of God? that's what he's going to do. Essentially, he's going to, like it shows in the movie, he's going to try to get everybody united.
He's going
to
bring, okay, try together. And bring peace.
Exactly. He's going to bring world peace. Okay?
Let me say this too, though. If he brought peace, and, you know, if there was peace on earth, and one person brought it, wouldn't that kind of take somebody's mind off Christ? When they say, we don't need God anymore, we don't need Christ, that's ridiculous. So, you know, he is there, and he's going to take our mind off of Christ, and, you know, he's going to be worshipped. He's going to be, in a sense, a savior, not really, not literally, but to, you know, a secular kind of mindset. That. So, that's what he's going to do, and, you know, we see it, like Richard's just saying, you know, happening more and more and more. Jesus said, you're going to see these things, but don't be like, oh, I never saw that coming. Jesus said, be watch, beware. You know, if you know what time a thief is going to come in at your house at night, then you'll be awake and you'll be aware. So be aware like that. So when we see these things, and, you know, he's going to bring peace, he's going to do all these things that seem so magnificent, it's going to take our mind off Christ. So that's what he's going to do, you know, in these times, in these end times, and in Revelation.
Yeah, absolutely. Here in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about a woman and a child and a dragon. And John, what he's explaining here in Revelation is all what he best tries to describe it as. Okay, but it says in verse 3 here, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And this dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Okay, and so this child, this accuser, this basically the Antichrist, okay, is coming. He's to rule the nation, okay, to rule the earth, and that's what it talks about here in Revelation. And it's crazy because it you know, a lot of the things it talks about are really hard to understand. You know what I mean? There's great books that explain it, like Skip's new book, you know, going through Revelation. It really breaks it down for you, so you can definitely go check that out. But that's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be ruling it with an iron fist, okay? And he's going to try to bring everybody together, like he was talking about, trying to get everybody against God, okay? Just like the devil. It's all a mockery of the Trinity of God, okay? You know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and there's the devil, the beast, and the devil, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, okay? They're all a mockery of God. Of God, the Trinity of God. Let's do you, because you haven't answered a question. I'll do you first, to the right. Did Jesus ever think about sinning? Or rebelling against God? Well, you know, there was chances, like we read in Matthew, you know, that when he was tempted by the Satan, right, in chapter 4, he had chances to disobey God and to be tempted as we were. He was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, okay, 40 nights. It's a long time, okay? And we can't even wrap our minds around that, being without food that whole time, you know, Jesus, and only he could do that because he was God. But, yeah, he did have chances to do that, but never did he think about that, because he knew who he was. He was the Son of God, and he knew what his purpose was on earth. Okay? So never, I know for a fact, never did Jesus ever have a thought of, you know, that kind of sounds pretty good. You know what I mean? I mean, Satan says, you're so hungry, man, turn this bread to turn this stone to bread. And Jesus is like, man, I'm gonna hit you with another scripture. Man does not live on bread alone. You know what I mean? He just hits him back, and he doesn't fall into temptation.
Let me add something really quick to that, and I've thought about this a lot too. Well, wouldn't Jesus growing up, you know, kind of be a brat, kind of, you know, do do something in grade school or do something in, you know, at your guys' age. Have you guys, I've thought that. And I've thought, well, maybe he could have made a mistake there. But I can't find the, I'm pretty sure it's in Mark. But even then, you know, it says that they went to a feast and he actually stayed behind without his parents realizing it. And when they went back to where the feast was, they found him in the temples, you know, talking about philosophy and talking about just crazy concepts. And that just shows that he was God then too. And that since he was doing it then, like, he was God. He wasn't sinning, even as a child, even growing up, all the way up to the point where, you know, the disciples and these witnesses start writing about all these miracles that he's doing. So even from birth, I'm like, I don't know. That's crazy for me to comprehend and say, wow, even as a kid, he never lied. He never did this. He never sinned. You know, just showing that even up to his death, from birth to death, not one sin.
It's perfect.
So, why did he go against him? That one, you know, gets to me too. And going back to kind of just about free will and that kind of stuff, I'm gonna talk about Peter in this part too. You know, he did rebel. He sold Jesus out. And, you know, throughout the scripture, it always goes back and says, he was never a believer. The one who was the betrayer. Judas, the one who was the betrayer. Now, Peter, he also, in a sense, betrayed God. He denied him three times. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times. But he still loved God, and he still made those mistakes. Even though he was saved, you know, he still made those mistakes. You and I are saved, or, you know, a lot of us in here are saved. We still make those mistakes. But Judas, you know, he might never been saved because, you know, he did that in the first place. God said that Jesus told him, you know, it would be better if you were never born at all. You know, that's pretty deep. So, you got anything to add to that and wrap that up, bro?
Yeah, no, that was great. That was great. We'll do one more. We got time for, yeah, one more. What does it mean when God says we are created in his image? What does it mean when he says that God is created in our image? Well, in the beginning, okay, in Genesis, it says God creates them, right? Christ creates Adam first. And, you know, actually, I'm going to go there really quick.
Yeah.
And I'm in Revelation, go all the way to Genesis. It says he creates man in his own image, in his likeness, okay? Let me just go to it really quick. 2 seconds. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Verse 26, chapter 1. According to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Okay? So what does that mean? It means we're in his likeness. Okay? Paul says, imitate Christ as I also imitate Christ. Because we're created in the image of God. God created Adam and Eve perfect from the beginning. Okay? They were without sin. They were in the Garden of Eden and told to eat of anything they wanted, of any fruit, probably fruit that we doesn't even exist anymore or whatever. I don't know. Amazing stuff, but except for one tree, right? And so it was perfect. Absolute perfection. That's how God wanted it because he was perfect. And when he says our, he's talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All three of them there together as one were there. And he says we're going to make them in our image, in our likeness, how we are in perfect. And that's how he created Adam and Eve. That's how he meant it to be all the time. Okay, but then when sin fell, when Eve sinned, and then Adam followed, and from there, it just went downhill, okay? Does that mean, you know, we're still not created in his image? No. But are we imperfect? Yes. Okay? We're with fault. We're not spotless or without any blemish as Jesus is. But through Jesus, Okay, the Bible says that God sees us as that way. When before God, I mean, God is in the Bible, can't even look at sin. Okay, he can't have nothing to do with evil. Can't have nothing to do with it. God can't even look at it. Okay, but when he sent his son, Jesus, who is God, rather, Jesus in the form of God in the form of man, came to die on the cross. It says he looks to us through Jesus and sees us blameless. Sorry, I need water. Without any spot, without any blemish, things like that. And so we are created in his image. And like Paul says, imitate me like I also imitate Christ, because we are created in his image, because right. God meant it to be, for us to be holy, for us to be perfect. And we need to strive for that every single day. Not to be perfect all the time, because God knows we're not perfect, right? We're going to mess up. We're going to sin. And he knows that. That's why he sent Jesus to die for us. But we need to try as much as possible to be clothed with humility, to be clothed with holiness. Like Romans chapter 12 says, to be transformed, to not conform to the things of the world, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to be totally different people, like a butterfly transformed after it's in its cocoon, right? That's what we need to be. But for Christ, every single day. So that's what he means. That's what he means by that. We're created in his image. So we're out of time. We went a little bit over, but it's okay. If you have any more questions, we're going to be here afterwards as well. We're going to be, leaders are going to be everywhere to answer your questions. Tonight, we're doing something that's never been done before.
What's the deal? What is it, bro? What could it
okay?
be?
Okay. You guys ready? It has to do with fire, marshmallows, and chocolate. S'mores! We're going to chat down on some s'mores out there on the volleyball courts in the sand. Okay, we have 25 minutes. We have plenty of time. So we're going to be